Wait. Hi, I'm here.
So please, I didn't want it to boil.
What
but
are you needing English for?
You know, there's nothing.
So okay. Tell me.
Rabbi, can you hear us?
Yeah, nobody's picking
up. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I couldn't get
out of there
with the
challah
bake.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, we missed you. I missed hearing you.
Okay.
The baking powder.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
Did Rabbi Goldberg bring in enough snacks for everyone?
Well, he brought healthy.
These are healthy.
Nobody wants it.
I raided the kitchen.
Right here.
Yeah.
Rabbi Goldberg snacks will not take care of depression, I tell you. Jelly Bellies, on the other hand.
They'll do it.
Oh,
he specifically likes black Jelly Bellies.
But licorice.
Yeah.
Very open-minded of Rabbi Goldberg.
He's very diverse.
Got a lot of colors.
Not really. Just black isn't that diverse.
That's true.
And diverse.
Hi, Rabbi.
I hear you, Patty.
See, you're constantly calling me Marsha. I just don't get that at all.
I don't know. And I even know that Marsha's baking challah tonight.
How lovely for her.
Yeah,
some that's that also because of the challah bake.
Babysitting, probably.
Yeah, that he's wearing a shaitel and a skirt and hanging out someplace.
I do not want to see that.
Too much information.
Can you see me?
No, I can't. I can see your hand.
Okay, that's all you really. What happened to my
listen, I chose you over the challah bake, Robert.
It's over there.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Oh, there is an English one.
Yes.
I said there was no English one here.
How are you? How's the baked in?
Oh, it's out of control. I didn't get in until after 12 o'clock last night.
Oh, my God.
Thankfully, business is booming. It's good news. People can't get along with one another.
Isn't that?
Growth area.
There you go. I'm moving. Wait, did I do something wrong? Oh, crap. Did I do it?
No, I think you did it.
I'm so sorry. We can't see you. We can hear you.
What happened?
I'm going to have to re-link up.
All I did
was... How many fingers am I holding up?
We have no idea.
11.
Oh, so what are we up to?
We're on 3.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Apparently we're going off and coming back.
Fine.
Yes, we're
okay. Well, still going on. But,
hey!
Okay, we're back.
Can you see us?
He never left.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Oh, okay.
Hi, hello.
Okay.
Hi, hello.
We ready to go?
Yeah.
Yes,
ready to.
So.
We're going to boogie.
If the class could just settle down a little bit.
Well, we're a rowdy bunch, you know.
I'm just hoping the cops don't come. All right, let's go. So we last left off, and Ailey got a message that things were not going well with his sons, and therefore there wasn't going to be a happy ending.
I have a question.
Wait, I don't know if I did anything. I made the first boss again.
It has to do with
slack.
Didn't God tell Shmuel not to tell him?
Isn't that
oh, I'm sorry. I read ahead. I apologize.
What do you mean?
Just wait.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. Sorry to blow it.
Might as well go home now.
Okay.
All right, let's try that again. Look at this. So, Gimel Aleph. V'hamar Shmuel el Mishari says Adonai lifnei Eli. V'dvar Adonai ha'yakar bayamim ahim. Ein chazon nifratz. So, Shmuel was serving Eli the Kohen Gadol, and the word of God was rare in those days. So a day came, and on that day, Eli was resting because he had been losing his eyesight. He's really an older man at this point.
How do we know about the eyesight?
It says so on the second passage.
Well, I'm saying that became dim. Got it.
Right? We all agree? Good.
Yeah, we agree.
Pasuk Gimel is a little trickier, though. Ne'er Elohim karam yichbeh, u'shmuach shochei beheichal Adonai, she'er sham arod Elohim. So it's a little tricky. Where do we put the commas here?
Okay.
So how would you read it, Patty?
Well, it's a weird pasuk, but it sounds like the light or the lamp of God had not yet gone out. So why would the lamp of God be going out?
Well, I assume the menorah goes out at night, doesn't it?
Is that the light we're speaking of?
Nothing there about a book.
I was thinking the Ner Tamid or something.
Now that wouldn't go out, would it?
No, that's why I'm saying.
Right, and so where was Shmuel lying?
Well, it sounds like he's in the temple.
Are you allowed to go to sleep in the temple?
It seems odd to me, but that sounds like where he was located at the moment.
Right. So but you're not allowed to sleep there.
Well, maybe he wasn't sleeping.
So Patty, have you ever read the Torah?
A little.
Okay. So do you know the cantillations?
Yeah.
So what's the cantillation under the word shochev?
Uh-oh.
You knew I was going to call you on this.
Exactly. I don't know enough to tell you what it means.
I lost the video.
You lost me again?
No, video.
It's just a video.
We can't see you, but we can hear you.
You tell me I didn't have to get dressed for this?
Right, you didn't have to get dressed.
Oh, man. What a bummer.
Take your clothes off.
Skimmies. Oh, man. Well, what the?
About the cantillation, I don't know what that means.
That's called an asnachta. Asnachta is a stop.
Okay.
So the way it should be read is v'ner el kim terach yichbeh, and the light is not put up, u'shmuel shochev, and Shmuel is lying down, and then
right.
Going back to the beginning, v'heichal Hashem asher sham aron Elohim.
Oh, in the temple where...
Right, so if you look at the first source is the Gemara in Kedushin, and the Gemara Kedushin says it has to be read that way. It says, "Siv and Nera Rokim, Terem Yechbe, Vishmuel, Shochei Bech Hashem. Hello, Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, Amor Malchis Beis David Bilvad." You can't even sit in the Mishkan.
I didn't know that.
So if you can't even sit, he's going and he's going for his nap there.
Right, that seems odd, doesn't it?
Ella, rather, it says, "Nea Elokim Terem Yechbe Beheichal Hashem." The light has not gone out in the Mishkan. V'shmuel Shochei Bimkomo, and he was lying where he was.
So where's he lying?
Well, so he was lying wherever he lied, wherever he went to sleep at night, but it was not in the Mishkan.
Outside the Mishkan.
Right, that's the idea. So okay. Yeah, you have to be careful in the reading. The Gemara in Kedushin also, number two, has a second level of meaning to this. It says, "Ad shelochavsa shimsho shel Eli zarcha shimsho shel Shmuel haramati." We never have a time where there is no leadership. So, for example, before Moshe dies, Yoshua already starts. So similarly, before Eli's going to step down, Shmuel's going to step up. He said that is an allegorical reading. The candle of God, meaning Eli, who was the light of the people at that point, had not yet gone out, but Shmuel was already moving up.
Got it.
That is a second level of meaning, of an understanding as to what's going on here.
We get the picture.
Moving, one more source related to that. So he says in the Medrash number 3, he says Eli zaken ma'od. Eli is very old. Davar acher ve'Eli zaken ma'od. Shloshik sam hayu biyado. Eli at the time had three crowns that he read, that he had. He was Kohen Gadol, he was the high priest, Melech, he was the king, he's the leader of Av Beis Din, and he also was the leader of the rabbinical court. Kohen Gadol, Shev Eli HaKohen, Shaya Kohen Gadol, that's the obvious one.
Okay.
Yoshev HaKisei, Shaya Melech, when it says he was sitting on the chair, it meant that he was also the political leader. Amazuzas Hechal Hashem, Stam Shelo Hayu Avonos Bon of Yoy Bishloshtam. And he said, because of his sins of his sons, he lost it all. And instead of saying Eli Sin, he says Eli Shochev. He's now lying. Stam Shelo Hayu Kohen Gadol. And it says Eli, it doesn't say the Kohen Gadol. Bim Komo Shelo Hayu Melach, Vein of Hechel Keo Shelo Hayu Abbezdin. He was. They no one referred to him as Eli HaKohen here. So he lost the status of Kohen Gadol. He was no longer sitting. He was lying, which means he no longer had the status of king. And somebody who is blind cannot be a judge. So obviously he lost that as well.
So between Bet and Gimel, this happens. And then we hear about it in Gimel.
Correct. Meaning at the end of the second chapter, we're told this is going to happen.
Right.
And now
it has.
Oddly enough, there's going to be a second message with the same idea.
Okay.
Pasuk Dalet. Vayikra Adonai El Shmuel Vayomer Hineni. So God calls out to Shmuel. This is Shmuel's first time speaking to God. And Shmuel says, here I am. Now, of course, Shmuel doesn't recognize God's voice. They have never spoken before.
Correct.
So when he gets the call, as you ruined for everybody.
No, I ruined the later part.
Hey, Vayaretzel Eli Vayomer Hineni Ki Karasali Vayomer Lo Karasi Shov Shchav Yech Yishchav. He hears Shmuel. He comes running. He says, Eli, I'm here. I heard you. He said, I never called you. Go back to sleep. You're bothering me. Yosef Adonai Kro Od Shmuel. Vayakam Shmuel Vayach Elel Vayomer Hinini. Ki Karasi Vayomer O Karasi Vini Shov Shchav. He says, didn't you call me? He said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Here, have some milk and cookies. Enough already. Zion, three times a charm. Ushmuel Terem Yodas Adonai Viterem Yigla Elov Devar Adonai. Now, Shmuel at this point had never had Nevuah anymore, so he had no idea what was going on here. By Yosef and my Kershua Bashlishis, by Yakov, by Yachel Eli, by Yomar Hinani, Ki Karasi, by Yavin Eli, Ki Adonai Karevana. By the third time, Eli catches on what's going on.
Right.
Shmuel does not know what's going on, but Eli does.
So right.
Eli says, let me get you through this. By Yomar Eli, Rishmuel, Lech Shchav, Haya Imyikra Elecha, Vamarta Daber Adonai, Ki Shomea Avdecha. He says, okay, when this happens next time, I want you to say the following words. Speak, O Lord, because your servant hears. Now, why does God keep on coming to him when he's going to bed? So if you look at the Rambam, in number 4, the Rambam explains that this is how Nevuah generally happens.
Sleep. Does that mean like in a dream?
So let's read it. Hanavim malos malos hein. Not all Nevi'im were made equal. They're different levels. Moshe yesh b'chacham chacham gadol mechaveiro kach b'nevuah navi gadol me'navi. Just like there are a lot of wise people out there. A lot more dumb people, but there are a few wise people. But even among the wise people, there are levels. There are guys that are really smart, and then there's guys that are really, really smart. So, too, there's a guy who's a Navi. There's a guy who's a really, really Navi. He said, but all Nevi'im can only get a Nevuah when they are either dreaming or they are having, you know, or they're kind of drifting off at night. Or if they fall asleep by day, they can do it as well. According to the Rambam, this is pretty standard. that this is what you can expect in a nevuah. And this is what is happening here, that he, in fact, is going to sleep, and that is the point where you can have nevuah. Only one person does not have nevuah like that, according to the Rambam, and that is?
Moshe.
That is correct. Moshe Rabbeinu, right, is all different, as we know from Parshas Baalosla. Pe'el pe'el da'ber bo. Right? Not in a chalom. The Pasuk Yud. Vayavo Adonai v'yitzat sevei krok kefam v'fam Shmuel Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel deber kishomei avdecha. So again, he calls out Shmuel Shmuel, and with that, Shmuel says what he's supposed to say.
Right.
Two comments on this pasuk.
He doesn't say the same what Eli told him to say. He doesn't call God by his name.
Right. He doesn't say speak, O God, but he does say, right, that I am listening. That is true.
He's close.
Well, the bottom line is it's not on the source, but Elaine could have been Rashi, because it bothers Rashi as well. Take a look at Rashi, not on the sheet.
All right.
But look out with your husband, Rashi. Yeah. I can still see you, even though you can't see me.
All right, we can't see you.
This is the new machitza. The men can see the women, but the women can't see the men. Very progressive.
There you go.
I'd like to thank Ted Engel for paying for it. So the Rashi says, Pasuk Yud, below his kirshem shemayim koshitzivo eli amar shema kol acharu. He said he got nervous. He thought maybe Eli was wrong. So he didn't want to say the name of God because it might have been in vain. That's why he only said the second half.
Well, who else might be talking?
I don't know. He even thinks it's Eli. Maybe it's those cranksters again.
I got it, but he and Eli are the only two people there.
Yeah, well, he hadn't considered another operation beforehand. Right? So therefore, Rashi actually picks up on this, that for the second half, he says word to word, but he doesn't use the name of God because he's hedging his bets. He wants to play it safe. The source of that actually is the Medrash. Now, two comments on that. One is a Medrash Tehillim. Based on this pasuk, the question is, Shmuel's name is mentioned twice. God doesn't say, hey, Shmuel, but he says,
Shmuel, Shmuel.
Why does he say his name twice? So the Medrash says it's a sign. He says Misha Kafal Shmo, any person whose name is mentioned twice, Nolad Mohol, he was born with a bris already. And there are 13 people that were born with a bris. One of them is Shmuel, as it says in this pasuk, Shmuel, Shmuel.
Wait a minute, how do we know that? I mean, how do we know that?
Bum, ba-da-dum, bum.
Got it.
Ba-da-dum, bum.
And so who are some of the others that were born? I mean, I know
look
about...
Look at number five as the complete list. 13 people make the list.
Number five.
Who is that? It says, these are one of the 13 that are born. Ve'elohim, and they are. Adam Harishon.
Oh, yes.
Shais. Seth. Chanoch. Enoch. Noach, Shem, Terach, that's an odd one.
Yaakov,
Yosef, Moshe, Shmuel, David, Yeshaya, Yirmiah. That will be on the final.
Really? I mean, really none of these? I mean, it's not talked about in the Torah, but I just assume they have forced him at some point.
Now,
Rav Chaim
Voloshiner.
How did they decide those were the ones?
Exactly.
Bum, well, ba-da-dum, bum.
We all start singing and dancing.
Yeah, we know whose phone is ringing. Oh, yeah.
We do know. Not mine.
That's right.
Not mine.
Somehow related to black jelly beans. That's all that I know. Now, what do you notice when you look in your Navi about the word Shmuel, Shmuel? Anything?
I notice it's twice. I don't notice anything else.
Is there anything in between the two words?
Well, there's, again, a cantillation mark.
What is that mark?
It's just a line.
A break. Line. What's that? Break. Do you see that line anyplace else?
No.
Are you familiar with a line just between words?
No.
So what is that line doing there?
That never appears anywhere else?
I didn't say it never appears anywhere else.
I'm not familiar. Well, I don't know what the rule is about the line.
Right. So the line means that you're supposed to pause.
Okay. There's another one in the first chapter.
Right. It's right. You're supposed to pause. Why is there a pause between Shmuel? So Rav Chaim Valojin in the Nefesh HaChaim points out that every single time there are two names in a row, there is a break in between them.
Right? Is it like
right? It says Avraham.
Right.
Or Yaakov. The only time that there is no line in between the two names is by Moshe. It says Moshe opposite time. Moshe is the only one that doesn't have a break. And he says of a very interesting tradition. He says when you say the name twice, the indication is that you're comparing the person's potential to what they turned out to be. He said, so all these great people that we listed, Avram, Yaakov, Shmuel, while they were tremendously great, they never reached their potential. That's why there's
really?
A break between Avram and Avram, Yaakov and Yaakov. The only person who reached his absolute total potential was
Moshe.
And that's why Moshe is the only one who doesn't have a line like this.
Orange.
So that's why.
Can I add, so the line is sort of like a comma.
Right. It's
okay.
All right.
Okay.
So that's exactly the point that he's making, that note there is import into that.
Okay.
Okay, so God is now about to address Shmuel. He's got his first message for him to deliver.
Does Shmuel know now it's God?
I think he caught on by now.
Okay.
Might not be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but at this point he's kind of caught on what's going on here.
I think he's pretty sharp.
Yeah, I would imagine so. But Yomar Adonaiel Shmuel, Hine Anochi Yosed Davar B'Yisrael, Asher Kol Shomot Hatzirem Eshtei Oznav. Says, I'm going to do something that anyone who hears it, it's going to make his ears ring. Vayomahu Akim El Eli Eis Kol Asher Dibarti El Beisal Haichel V'Chalei. I'm going to do what I promised to do. I'm going to wipe out the house of Eli. V'higalti lo ki shofet ani es beso ad olam b'avon asher yoda ki makarim lahem banav v'lo ki avam. Why am I going to do this? Because he has sinned, because he knew his children had sinned, and he didn't step in to do something about it. That the sin of the house of Eli will never, ever be erased through bringing of Karbanos.
It will not.
Meaning you can bring all the Karbanos you want. I'm sorry, Eli, you're out. What are you saying?
So I wasn't here before, but is that implying that Eli was corrupt?
As it says, Eli did not step in and do something about his kids. His kids were corrupt.
Right. But he it's just because he didn't step in and do what he should have done.
He's neglectful.
Now this a little bit of an odd word. He doesn't say I will never forgive the house of Eli, but he says I will not accept a sacrifice to forgive them.
Right, so he's beyond that.
Right. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah writes that's very specific. Looking at number 7, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Ami, Va'ami Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonasan. So somebody says the name of Rav Yonasan. He said, first thing is, how do we know that if God, you know, if there's a bad nevuah, right? If somebody goes and brings bad news, God could always change his mind. What's a good example?
Yonah,
excellent. Right, so Yonah, in fact, was a case of God where Yonah wasn't a false prophet. It was just God changed his mind. However, the Gemara says, if God swears, though, he'll never change his mind. What's the proof? The proof is right here. He says, Nishpati, God says, I swear. Bring all your kabanos, you're not going to get out. So Amar Rava, bezevach mincha in the mechaper. They can't get out of it through kabanos. Avo mischaper b'torah. However, if the descendants of Eli are in Torah, they'll be allowed. They will not die young. Abai omer bezevach mincha in mechaper. Avo mischaper b'torah ubebilas chasadim. He said, in fact, if you learn Torah and you do chesed, then. In fact, interestingly, Rabba the Abaye made the base Eli Karasu. Both of these people were descendants of Eli.
Really?
Rabba Osak B'Torah. Rabba learned Torah Chaya Arba and Shin. Instead of dying by the age of 18, he got to live to be 40. Abaye the Osak B'Torah Gemeos Chasadim Chaya Shitzin Shin. Abaye, who did Torah and Chesed, got to live to be 60.
That's not so old, though.
In those days, 60 is ancient.
It's a lot better than 18.
Yeah, with the 900 years and all that, I get it.
Now, the Yerushalmi actually has a little bit of a different spin. According to the Bavli, it says they can get out of it with Torah or Chesed. The Yerushalmi has a different approach. Rav Kahana Marich B'Tzilusei. Rav Kahana used to daven a really long Shmona Esrei. Came the Chasa Amar came Aslam when the Higim Letziur Rabbi Chum. So his Rebbe says, is it really right you should daven so long? Right, he couldn't get out the door and he was blocking him. He said, you're supposed to make me feel miserable. Amalei Rebbe Anami Beis Eli Kaasinan. He said, I'm sorry, but I'm a descendant of Eli. It says that the Beis Eli cannot get out of their punishment by bringing karbanos. So he says to him that he couldn't get out of it through karbanos, but he can get out of it through prayer. So that's interesting because that's a different approach than the two approaches in the two approaches that we had in the Bavli. Okay.
And also got, you know, in the original text doesn't talk anything about prayer.
No. All the text says is you're not going to get out of this.
With karbanot.
With karbanos. That's all what he said.
Right.
So. Now, Shmuel's got his first nevuah, and his nevuah is he's got to go tell his Rebbe, you're about to be wiped out because you're a sinner. Not exactly what you'd be hoping for. Like, the first nevuah is like, after 100 years, you're going to have a son. I think that would be a better one to start with. But that was not what he drew here. So what does Shmuel do? He goes back to sleep. Gets up in the morning, he opens up the Mishkan, and he doesn't want to tell Eli what happened. So Eli calls him in and says, Shmuel, my son. He said, yeah. He says, listen, you got to tell me what happened. And if you don't tell me exactly what God said, the curse should be on you. Interestingly, the Gemara in Makos, number 9, says that's actually a big deal. Because when you get a curse from a great person, even if it is al tanai, that's only if then, you're still in trouble. If a chacham gives you a curse, even if it's on tonight, if it's conditional, it still happens. Minolan, how do we know that? May Eli, come on, Eli Lishmuel. He said, let it happen to you if you hold them back anything. Even if he's going to tell him everything, Shmuel's going to end up with the same problem. His kids aren't going to turn out great either.
Why would he do that? Why would he do that to him?
Exactly.
Right, so he probably didn't know that rule.
So my question, how old do we think Shmuel is at this point?
I don't think he's a young man at this point.
Are we talking about like 15 or are we talking about 7?
I don't know.
That kind of makes a difference.
Yeah, I still don't know.
Okay, I hear you.
Okay, so he's got no choice. He's got to tell him. Yurches vayagid Roshu es kol advarim. Doesn't hold back. He says, listen, this is what happens. And what his answer was, God is great. Whatever in fact he decides is right. And Shmuel goes and he grows up. And everything that he says comes true. He's growing. And everybody from Dun in the north to Beersheba in the south, they all realize that Shmuel is a great Navi. And he keeps on coming back to him because, just like he did in Shiloh, and he keeps on giving him Nevuah. These few psukim seem to be kind of throwaways. Like it seems to be like one of these fillers, like, and Shmuel grew up type psukim, but the Rambam sees this actually as very important. The Rambam says this is how, in fact, a person establishes themselves as a Navi. Looking at number 10, we give you the first three halachas in the Rambam, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. The Rambam says, Kol Navi she'amod lanu, vayoma she'ashem shlocho, eino tzorcha asos os, if a person goes forward and they say that I am a Navi, they don't have to do a miracle. He says that in fact, what he does, he says, okay, this is my Nevuah, and we see if it happens or not. As it says, Shemar says in the Chumash, Chitoma b'levavcha echad eda hadavar. Says in Devarim, Lefecha k'shevo Adam, haray l'nevuah b'malachas Hashem, v'lo yavol ahosif aligroa l'avor es Hashem b'mitzvah satara. So someone comes forward and they don't say, we have a 614th mitzvah, and they don't say we're down to 612. And they don't could say that, you know, we should violate the Torah. So they'll say, well, Moshe split the sea. Let's see if you can do that. Oh, hachayame, so bring a dead person back to life. Right? We don't do that. Okay, yotzebe, luvacha, kach namin bach. We do that. Ella, omrimol, im navi ata, amor dvar ma'asim rios. Tell us what's going to happen. Who omer, anu machakim. We sit back and wait. The rosh hayaviyu dvar ve'im lo yaviyu. Now, if he's off by the slightest amount, if he gets up and he says that Trump is going to be impeached on December 17th at 4:13 in the afternoon, and Trump is in fact impeached on December 17th at 4:12 in the afternoon, Navi Sheker. Right? He's got to nail it 100%. But if this is the word of God, you don't miss on anything.
So, can I ask you a question?
That was halacha one. We have two more.
It's just something in the phrasing. On Yud Tet, the issue about Shmuel grew up, but the second part of it is, at least in the translation, he did not cast any of his words to the ground. I don't know what that phrasing means.
So let's go on. So let's go. let's just finish this first.
Okay, sorry.
Vokim oso pamim harbe. We test him many times. In ninso dvarim ne'amanim kulam, if he's constantly getting it right, arei zeh navi emes kamo she'namar b'Shmuel. V'yeda kol yisrael midan v'erek sheva, ki ne'aman Shmuel l'navi Hashem. This is exactly what happened. So those words are very important. Those words, he didn't cast his words to the ground, meaning there was no words that he said that were that failed. Every time he said a nevuah, it was absolutely right.
Okay.
Right, so he's saying that this, in fact, is the template that we use to figure out whether somebody is a Navi or not. In order to figure out if someone's a Navi, we've got to test them repeatedly. And if he's right every time, and then he's accepted by everybody, like Shmuel, as the Rambam says, right? Nothing, he didn't fail at all. And in fact, everyone's knew it from Dan to Be'er Sheva. Then it says, Neman Shmuel Navi Hashem. He is a true Navi.
So is he the template?
So he is the template, and these psukim are the template.
I see. Okay.
Next halacha, va'ahava onim va'kosmim omrim masha asa lios. But there are other people who also, wizards, magicians, who say what's going to be. So what's the difference between some sort of wizard and a Navi? They tend to be partially right, but not 100%. They'll tell you, these people, what's going to happen. They'll tell some of it, but not all of it. They might be totally wrong. Mefer osos badim bekosmi yehulo avo hanavi kol devar makam shema ki lo yipol mi devar Hashem arza. The last words of the Rambam are the words that, in fact, you wanted to focus on. Said the exact words that you can't be wrong at all, because it says ki lo yipol mi devar Hashem arza. Not a single word of his falls to the ground. I mean, every single word he says is right. Now, one last comment. The Medrash says that using the word Ne'eman, that he is trustworthy, that is not something that we take lightly. Right? It says, Ki Ne'eman Shmuel Lenavi. So the Medrash tells us in number 11, Shiva Nikru Ne'emanim, Tachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only seven people in the history did God refer to as trustworthy. And not only of them are people. The only thing that's called Ne'eman, he says, is Torah, Avram, Moshe, Shmuel, Uriah, Zechariah, V'cholayim. Right? Torah, B'nai Shema, Edus, Hashem, Ne'emana. As we say on Psikin Zimra on Shabbos. Avram, Shnemo, Matzias, Levovo, Ne'eman, Lefanecha. As we say in Psikin Zimra. Moshe, B'nai Shema, Kibcho, Besi, Ne'emanu. Parshas, Baruch, Shmuel, B'naiin. So this is a very rare compliment to get from God, to be called someone that is trustworthy.
Is there more to this? Because the other people, we don't... Yes.
Right, and I cut it off there because I just put it in for Shmuel. But there is, obviously, there are psukim for the other ones as well. Chalaim ra'im v'ne'emanim would be the last one. And then Uriah... is by David and Bathsheba. I don't remember the exact question of Zechariah. But if you'd like, I can provide you with the rest of it. But I did cut it early because I just needed Shmuel. So that's the story. So we now have reached the point where Eli's about to go down and Shmuel's about to rise. And it's going to happen in a very radical way. There is a video I'd like to show next week.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Where the problem is, I don't know how to do it.
Where's the video?
Is there a way Alan can get it?
Maybe. You know what? I'm gonna try to email it to you.
Okay. Email it to Michael also.
Right.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Rapp was Shmuel a Navi and not a Shofet, he was the Navi.
Yes. He's just a Navi. We are going to discuss at some point what the difference between a Navi and a Shofet is. Right? Because again, there's three different titles we have to consider. There's a Navi, there's a Shofet, and there's a Melech. And they're all leaders, but in somewhat different ways. Eli is the last of the Shoftim, arguably. Shmuel is the first of the Nevi'im. And we're going to have to, we're going to discuss where we draw the line on that and why it makes a difference other than title.
Again, do,
yes.
I'm sorry, do we have any idea by the end of this chapter? Again, do we think he's in his 20s, in his 30s? I'm just trying to get a bead on how old this guy, how old Shmuel is at this point.
It's hard to tell. We have very few hints.
Okay.
One hint we have is that he dies at the age of 52.
Yeah. Right, but we know what's coming. But my point is,
it's going to be the next thing that we can really date is the next chapter. The next chapter is going to have the destruction of Shiloh.
Right.
So that's something that we can date. We can work with that. I happen to have in front of me my excellent book with all the maps and charts in it. And I'll be honest, I have not looked if they have something on it. If you remember the book from the summer?
Yes.
The fellow from Siberia?
Yes.
Right. So here, let me see. According to this, according to his charts, Shmuel takes over as a Shofet at the age of 39.
Oh, okay. That helps me.
So,
yep. 49. We had a 14-year reign.
So he didn't.
13 years.
It was a short time.
13 years. You can't even see me now.
We can't see you at all.
Right. So, but
if you want, I
could send out a copy of this chart.
Okay.
With a fellow from Siberia. Shows how he came up with this.
Amazing. It is cool.
All right. So we will continue next week.
So you don't want to start
No, I didn't send you the sheets yet.
That's true.
And it's 10:45 at night, and it's past my bedtime.
All right, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Have a great night. Bye.
Good Shabbos.
When does he come back in again?
I need a new one.
Oh, I don't know.